I was speaking with a friend of mine recently about the current sad state of the church worldwide and many places throughout the world. And as we were talking, we realized that we might as well admit it. We live in perilous times. The Apostle Paul warned of times in which religion would lack any genuine substance, but instead be a powerless form of godliness, which serves only as a cloak for rampant moral depravity. 2 Timothy 3, 1-5. He said that we should realize this. I'm suggesting here that it is time that we are to realize that we are in such times and admit to our reality. You know, until now, I have resisted this reality. With so many churches in my area, I continue to hold out hope that there would be many faithful churches which would rejoice in the truths of the historic faith. But I'm prepared now to admit that this is hardly the case. And I'm not alone. I often talk with people who have given up on their, quote, seeker-sensitive, end quote, entertainment-driven, business model-oriented, religious activity center that we once called the church. Many believing people, including myself, are tempted to despair. But there is no payoff in despair. In fact, such despair is sin. So what are we to do? I have recently found myself being prompted by the Spirit to rejoice in the blessing of knowing and understanding the gospel of the kingdom. And as I have done so, the Lord has increased my well-being. So I want to share that with you today, and I want to encourage you and invite you to join me in doing so. Jesus once told his disciples, quote, "It has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God," end quote. This means to understand spiritual truth comes to us as a gift of God. It is not something we can invoke. To comprehend spiritual truth comes to us as the gift of God. It's not something we can earn, nor is it something to which we can ascend to. Rather, spiritual truth comes only to the mind, heart, and will of those whom God chooses to reveal it. This is because fallen mankind has hardened their heart against that truth. What knowledge, in fact, that they have of God through creation and conscience, they actively suppress and thus make themselves objects of wrath. Romans 1:18-19. In John chapter 3, verse 19, we read, "Even though light has come into the world, men love darkness rather than light, for their deeds are evil." This is the stuff of the perilous times in which we live. But Jesus told his disciples, quote, "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you, many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." Matthew 13:16-17, end quote. People will not see what you see and hear what you hear for the simple reason they do not want to. And to those who respond to the gospel with chronic, unrelenting unbelief, God simply allows to continue in their hardened and blinded state. But to some, to a remnant of people, God mercifully acts to open their eyes and their ears to understand the gospel of the kingdom and the glories of the new covenant in Christ. Not because of any good works we have done, not because we're any better than anyone else, but solely on the basis of mercy. If you are in Christ, this means you have the Spirit of truth dwelling in you, and that same Spirit has sealed you for the day of salvation. That's a great cause for rejoicing. If you are in Christ, this means you walk in the light as He is in the light, and you enjoy fellowship with the Father and the Son by the Holy Spirit. That's another great cause for rejoicing. If you've been justified by faith, which is the only way you can be justified, then you have peace with God, unconditional, objective peace with God. Blessed are your eyes, because they see. Blessed are your ears, because they hear. While living in the midst of a humanity that has closed their eyes, that has shut their ears, and they do not want to hear from God, God has acted upon your heart, mind, and will to open your eyes, to open your ears, to transform your will so that you share in His glory. So in the present crisis, we can go to despair, or we can rejoice that while few in number, those who do understand the gospel are recipients of a great mercy. And for that, we ought to rejoice and give thanks. In Luke 12:32, Jesus said, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." You are among Christ's sheep, and He knows you by name. And it is better to be named among the remnant and to rejoice in this intimacy with our shepherd than to be among the many who will one day hear Him say, quote, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness," end quote. Christ's flock is little in this present time, but you belong to a family that in numbers collectively is greater than the stars. Therefore rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, as did the apostle, rejoice, Philippians 4:4. Finally, this does not mean we ought to circle the wagons and hold on till Jesus comes back. On the contrary, we ought to be all the more ready to give an account for the hope which is in us, and to do good to all people, especially those in the faith. The world needs the light that you are in Christ. They may not all want it, but God may use you to bring the mercy of regeneration to someone's heart and mind. For though few, we are nonetheless called to do as the Apostle says in Philippians chapter 2, to do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may be blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. I hope this has been some encouragement to you. No matter how dark things get in the world, no matter how chaotic and full of hypocrisy and craziness the church gets at times, we can stop and we can always rejoice that the church is you and I. The church is wherever God's people are gathered, and Christ is in their midst. That we don't have to look at institutions. We don't have to measure things by popularity or celebrity preachers or the scandals or the hypocrisy that we see. We can rejoice in the fact that God has made Himself known in His Son, and that by His mercy He has drawn us to be in union with His Son, and He has made known to us the mysteries of the gospel of the kingdom. Amen.